some folks are louder than others when they preach. I tend to be a little bit louder, so I hope this does have a rev limiter, because I'm not looking to just blow your eardrums out, amen? But I look and I see that, you don't have to yell at somebody to get the truth across, amen? But I think a lot of folks are just dead, amen? And a little bit of yelling wouldn't hurt them, amen? Because they don't seem to have much lifeblood flowing through them when it comes to the things of God, amen? And that ought not be the case, amen? People get so excited at the ball game. They get so excited over inheriting money. They can get so excited over things that don't amount to a hill of beans. When it comes to things of God, they seem to be somewhat constipated, if you want to call it that. They have some issues, amen? Amen. Well, y'all are going to get a little learning, amen, when Brother Ryman comes, and I think that'll be a blessing to you. So he could teach you in the ways of the Lord when it comes to being excited in some ways, amen? Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not a show. It's not a front. It's not trying to get attention. You shouldn't be so too stuffed-shirted. Amen? Amen. I know some of y'all, if somebody came up and slapped you, you'd wake up right quick. Amen? Yeah. You ain't dead. You just acted like you're dead. Amen? For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Amen? I just want to ask you this, brother, sister. Do you believe that? That's what he said, and he is coming back, by the way. He's coming back. Turn over here to John, amen, to John 16 and verse 16. And I am so glad that I have a Bible, amen. John 16, verse 16. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Look at verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. Amen? Jesus Christ is coming back, brothers and sisters. First time he came as a servant, and then the next time he comes, he's coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not going to ask anybody any permission for nothing. Amen? He's coming. And nature itself is going to bear witness, and it's a major theme in the Word of God. It's not just something minor. It's a major theme. The theme of the Word of God is a king and his kingdom. Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews, and he's returning very soon. Brother, people have always been saying, yeah, they've been preaching like that for a long time. They've been saying that for a long time. We're that much closer. We're that much closer. Prophecy ought to interest you, amen? I don't mean you ought to be a frothing at the mouth, rabid, charismatic fool about it, but you ought to care what God said, amen? That should be a concern of yours. Look at James 5, 7 through 9. James 5, verse 7, the Bible says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Verse 8, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Look at the end of verse 9. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. There are so few people with a heart's anticipation of the return of the King of Kings. Amen. You can lose a crown for your indifference, but what's just as bad, if not worse, is all the joy in your heart that you will lose by not looking for that blessed hope. Amen? Amen. Brother, sister, the Jews were oblivious upon his first coming. Amen? They were oblivious. 3.5 years, you know, you would think, after 3.5 years of somebody being able to raise people from the dead, amen, from casting out devils, amen, from being able to heal people, from being able to walk on water, from being able to do things for 3.5 years to such a point to where the world could not contain the books that should be written, you would think people would get the point, amen. People are dense, amen. Amen. And I'm a people just like you, but I'll tell you what, brother, sister, you got to get in that book, and that book's got to get in you in order for you to have a hunger like you ought to be able to have for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews were oblivious, and right now the church, for the most part, is oblivious Now, I do not teach, you know, replacement theology. The church is not Israel. Israel's not the church. Amen. A Gentile's not a Jew. A Jew's not a Gentile. Amen. But I'll tell you what, the church is an awful lot like Israel in the respect of its falling away. You know, when you read the Old Testament, tell me if you don't do this. Do you not read in the book of Judges, and after a few chapters, you think, how could you be so stupid? Right? You know, most Jews, I mean, for most of us in here, their IQs are twice that of us. They've been given the oracles of God, but look at what happened with them. If that could happen to them, brother, sister, don't you think this could happen to you too? Oh, indeed. Indeed it could. And if you find yourself slipping, then get right back in the book. Amen? Ezekiel 7. Let's look at Ezekiel. Let's go to the Old Testament. And I'm going to read a few verses here, so just bear with me, amen? I hope you read the Bible at home, amen? If people take it for granted that Bible believers read the Bible at home, but you really can't take it for granted in 2017. You know, you can get in, and I understand preaching is not reading. I'm not Alexander Scorby, amen? But you shouldn't get all bent out of shape if you read a few verses when the preacher's preaching too, amen? Look at verse 1 of Ezekiel 7. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, also, thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel, an end, the end is come upon the four corners of the land. Now is the end come upon thee, and I will send mine anger upon thee, and will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense upon thee all thine abominations. And mine eyes shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense thy ways upon thee, and thine abominations shall be in the midst of thee. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, an evil, and only evil, behold, is come. An end is come. The end is come. It watcheth for thee. Behold, it is come. The morning is come unto thee. O thou that dwellest in the land, the time is come. The day of trouble is near, and not the sounding again of the mountain. Brother, sister, he told them again and again and again and again. Amen. And yet, nevertheless, you read something like this, and what do people do? They always go back to, well, people have been saying it for a long time, Jesus is coming. They've been saying it for a long time. And stupid, let me tell you something, he's coming, amen? He's coming. If you remain a biblical illiterate, you will suffer, amen, the repercussions of being a biblical illiterate. Amen? You know what Pastor Cummings' desire is and mine is and other folks in this church that are teaching is they want you to grow, amen? They don't get up here to kick you and practice, you know, some sick form of sadism each Sunday. They get up here because they want to see you grow, amen? Amen. There's plenty of churches around here where if you were getting fed like you can get fed here, they'd look at you as a threat. Isn't it a blessing to be able to grow, amen? Look at verse 17 as well. All hands shall be feeble, and all knees shall be weak as water. It's going to be quite a thing when he comes back. Nature itself will bear witness to this. We can already see that it seems as though that the Lord, in many ways, he's given little indicators here and there, amen? But people just, they aren't getting it, amen? Look at verse 25. Destruction cometh, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. You know, in front of the United Nations, they like to put the verse about how they're going to beat their swords into plowshares. But there's another verse, brother, sister, and that other verse says that before that takes place, they're going to beat their plowshares into swords. People think, oh, well, it'll never happen. It's going to happen. The best prophet of the future is the past, and the Word of God has already prophesied of Christ's first coming. And his second coming is going to take place. Amen. We haven't replaced Israel. He's the king of the Jews. We're here as a mystery. And we're here to preach the gospel, amen, to a lost and dying world. Because when the king comes, it's going to be too late for them. And he is coming. Look at Ezekiel 12. Turn to the right. Amen. Ezekiel 12, verse 26. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for what? Many days to come. And he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. Brother, sister, from the Father's perspective, amen, from the Father's perspective, his first coming was a bitter, bitter cup. Amen. You and I were blessed, redeemed. Amen. Saved from the wrath of God. But he was the recipient of the wrath of God for you and I. So what the Father is looking forward to, amen, is the second coming. Amen. Hosanna. Hosanna. Amen. What a blessing it's going to be, brother, sister. I hope you are looking forward to that day. You know, the one way to just be dead and dehydrated and dusty is to no longer hunger for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will shrivel up like a prune, brother, sister, because the whole point of you being here right now is to anticipate his return. Your whole point is to preach the gospel and the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back to reign. And he is. This is not a fantasy. This is not a fable. This is not my opinion. This is from the scriptures. A lot of people are rolling the dice against the word of God, and they're going to lose. They're going to lose. You could go to the United Nations, and you see all these folks wearing $3,000 suits and $700 pair of shoes. They're going to lose. They're going to lose. He's coming back. He's coming back. I remember before I was saved, hanging around a bunch of losers, smoking dope, being a stupid fool. And I remember this guy, this biker guy, in his shop. He had a poster, and he thought it was real cute. And I was a lost Roman Catholic. I didn't know anything about the Bible. Amen. I didn't know about the Lord coming back. And it was a typical cartoon of a street preacher, kind of Moses-looking-like guy, though. And he's on the corner, and it says, Jesus is coming. The end is near. You know, and here lost people are looking at that and snickering. And the Bible says there'll be mockers. Amen. In the last day. Mockers. Mockers. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There's no fear of God. That ain't going to change it when he stomps them out until the blood reaches the horse's bridle. And he's going to. He's going to. It's not fiction. And what took place is not coincidence, it's not happenstance, it's factual, brother, sister, and facts are stubborn things, amen? Stubborn they are. One day, listen, because of this book and what this book says, one day, brother, sister, the hammer is going to fall and the axe is going to be laid to the root. And God himself is going to let this world know that the party is over. The party is over. The Bible says, speaking of Jehovah God, he says, I kill and I make alive. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Why not make peace with God? Amen. That's what he desires you to do in the church age. See, right now, he's not looking to stomp you out. He's looking to save you like he saved me. Amen. I got saved. I got saved. I mean, there's lost people, tons, in the Roman Catholic Church, and there's increasingly more lost people in the Baptist Church. Amen? Hey, being a Baptist ain't going to save you. You must be born again. Amen? And then you can enjoy and anticipate the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? Look at Ezekiel 9, verse 1. Ezekiel 9, verse 1. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. The Bible says that the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. You know, the closest picture I've seen so far of a biblical Jesus is what Brother Felipe has in Sunday school. But I think he looks a whole lot more actually like Michael Pearl with black dyed beard. Amen? And I mean, Jesus was a radical, brother, sister. And when he comes back, have you seen Middle Easterners at war? Have you ever seen clips, amen, of Arabs and Jews when they're fighting? Listen, they don't hold no punches, amen. He's a man of war. He's not an effeminate, girly man. He ain't got lipstick on his face like Joel Osteen, amen. And he's got a lot more calluses than the average carpenter in 2017. Except his calluses are from wielding a sword. Amen? Amen. He's coming back. He is coming back. You can see all the indications. All the indications are there right now. Look at verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. America. Do you not see a similar pattern, amen, of the depravity of Israel and their apostasy in the United States of America? I'm not anti-American. I thank God I was born here. I thank God every time you come through customs, amen, they say, welcome back. I thank God for the United States of America. I'm not being anti-American. Don't go that route, amen. That's what the Jews were saying about Jeremiah, and I'm not worthy to be able to carry Jeremiah's sandals, but I'm here to tell you, they called him an enemy of the state because he preached the truth, and he told them what God wanted him to say, amen. I'll tell you what ought to be on every pulpit. I'm not saying y'all got to put it, but man, right here. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know, the truth will get you killed. If you don't believe it, just go to Mecca and preach Jesus Christ and see how long you got. Amen? Get a good life insurance policy first and put my name on it. Amen. All the indicators are there. And God, as he dealt with the Jews in the Old Testament, he's going to deal with America. You got 5.5 million Jews in the United States of America. You think God's just going to look the other way? Don't you think God's got a plan, amen, for the United States to get those Jews back? His focus is about to go from the church back to Israel. That's what it's about. That is right around the corner. And you want to be in a church that believes that, that believes the book, that believes souls are going to hell, that has tracts, that supports missionaries. You want to be in a church that's doing something for God and proclaiming the truth when Jesus Christ comes back. And you want to be busy working, amen, in that church, in whatever capacity God has for you when Jesus Christ comes back. You don't want to be in a bar. You don't want to be in a strip club. You don't want to be living like hell. You want to be right with God. The King is coming. The King's coming. Brother, sister, I mean, you look here, you look there. You don't have to get consumed with it and off on a tangent. You just see here and there, and you hear, and there's indicators. When you see those indicators and hear those indicators, you know the Holy Spirit bears witness. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Brother, they're going to cry out for the rocks to fall on them, amen. And we're going to rejoice. A lost person can't comprehend what I'm saying. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We speak of Christ's return to those who've been redeemed as a sweet day of redemption, a glorified body. Amen. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the Lamb that is very far off. But for lost people, they just hear about it even. It just makes them cringe. They don't even want to think about it. But they can't get away from it. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That book controls the universe. You cannot get away from it. Verily, men swear by the greater. Lost people at a construction site and sailors, they use the name of Jesus Christ. No other so-called prophet. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess. He's coming. He's coming, amen. Matthew 16, verse 2. Matthew 16. It is strange how few folks are seeing these things come together. And they're coming together exponentially fast. Things are happening really, really fast in the world right now. You know, our country thinks we're going to kick God out. And this, you know, really, here's the truth of it. God has been extremely long-suffering, patient, kind, and gracious to us as a nation. If you go back to when we kicked God and prayer out of our public school system and allowed all these heathen, demon-possessed, God-hating liberals to be able to teach the children in the United States of America. You look at how many babies have been killed since 1973. You look at now this homosexual marriage matter. You look at these things, and if you believe there is a God in heaven, you know he's angry. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day, brother, sister. We don't have that much longer. We don't have that much longer. You ought to be able to see these things and see these things clearly. And if you can't see them, then there's something that is eclipsing your vision. You need to get it out of your life. Whatever it is, if there's something in your life that's stopping you from seeing these things coming together, you need to get rid of it. Matthew 16, verse 1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? And as it was, so it shall be. It was a hypocritical religious group, amen, that were blind, that had no discernment. So it is today. People like Joel Osteen and other charismatic leaders, they draw the goats to their buildings like a magnet draws dust of metal. Amen? It is unbelievable. No discernment. No discernment. No ability to tell the difference between spiritual things and non-spiritual. No ability to be able to see God working. Amen? Brother, pray for discernment. It's a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God. Pray God will give it to you. Amen? Because we are rapidly approaching the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. It doesn't say if it cometh. It says when it cometh. Sudden. 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 You know, most of the time, natural disasters, they take place suddenly. And many of the times in the Bible, when you read about something supernatural and a judgment that's falling from God, it happens suddenly. And everything's just going fine right now. I mean, most of us in America, if you didn't see it on the TV or the computer, you would not know that people are getting their heads cut off and burned alive in the Middle East right now. Right? I mean, look how good. Look how. It's not a matter of what am I going to go out to eat this afternoon. Granted, you're healthy enough to do it. It's a matter of what do I want to eat. Amen? It's not if I'm going to eat. It's what do I want to eat. Look how good we've got. The world is set on fire of hell, brother. He's coming back. Amen? He's coming back. The Bible says, he that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed. Suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. Without remedy. Without remedy. You know, when we come to church like this, you ought to be getting what you need in order to go out there and to be able to warn lost people of the impending doom. Lost people can't see. You can't expect lost people to see, to discern. But those of you who are saved, you ought to be able to see. You ought to be able to discern. You ought to be able to know the King is coming. I recall, because of the fact I was called to Indonesia, I remember when that tsunami came through in December of 04. And I remember vividly a picture of a guy who's walking through a village, and this photographer was standing in front of him. The guy was oblivious. He might have even been looking at his cell phone like so many people are all the time these days. Amen? And right behind him was a wall of water 30 foot tall. In milliseconds after that photo was taken, both the man with the phone and the man with the camera were dead. I'm telling you, when the wrath of God falls, it's going to fall suddenly. It's going to fall suddenly. Just like the tsunami that went through Japan. Just like 9-11. Just like the quake in Nepal that took place a couple years ago. It's going to happen suddenly. Just like the maniac that went through Columbine. Just like the maniac who was in Aurora. Just like the flood in Noah's day. Just like the fire that fell on Sodom and Gomorrah. Suddenly. Suddenly. If you think that lost people are ready for this, you got another thing coming. Most saved people ain't even ready for this. In fact, I think a lot of us, I'm prayed up, fessed up, saved, blood bought, heaven bound with the hammer down and what have you, but man, God gets mad. It makes me mighty nervous, amen? If it don't make you nervous, you ain't healthy spiritually. There's something wrong with you. If you're so complacent that you could sit before an angry God and not tremble, then you're sick, amen? Look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. When God allows this to take place, when he chooses to rapture his church and allows the wrath of God to fall upon a lost and dying world, we are from the balconies of heaven, I believe, going to be completely aware of the magnitude of destruction that's taking place. In the book of Revelation, it says, by the space of half an hour, there was silence in heaven. It can be very sobering, amen? It is going to be very sobering. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11. 2 Thessalonians 2, 11, the Bible says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And I just want you to focus on this. God is going to send strong delusion. It is bad enough, amen, if you got the devil and he is walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's bad enough. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. The devil is a master deceiver. But when you have the devil deceiving, and then you have God stepping up the standard and sending strong delusion, what kind of a hope do you have? You probably have a neighbor who's going to be alive after you're gone. Have you witnessed to them? Do you live your life, amen, with a clear presentation of the fact that you truly believe what is written in the scriptures that we just read? Amen? It's so good to be saved. Look at verse 12, amen? That they all might be damned. You know, you hear lost people, and after you get saved, it's a whole new perception as far as what you hear. I remember my grandfather, and he'd sit there, and something would come up, and he'd say, well, I'll be... After I got saved, I looked at him, and I said, Grandpa, don't be damned. You know, lost people, they tell you where to go, right? And you're trying to save them from going. This is not a game. Our time on earth is almost over. This church one day will have nothing left. If you're here when it happens, nothing left but a few clothes and shoes here and there, some blood on the pews from the corruptible that has to be left behind. There may be a few lost people here. Man, it's going to be a sobering moment. It's going to cause this world to reel to and fro like a drunken man. They are not ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Kings. Saved people are not ready, most of them, for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And just like an F5 tornado that's called the finger of God, it's going to fall upon this wicked world. I was preaching up in Kansas City on the street with another brother. He likes to go out there and street preach, and that was a wild night. I almost got thrown in jail and beat up by a drunken Irishman. It was quite intense, amen, and I wasn't even trying to look for trouble. But when we went to one area where there's all these bars and we're preaching across from them and there's a number of us, obviously we're not, you know, going into places. We're preaching and trying to warn people, and we don't have some sick smile on our face like we're better than them, because we're not, amen. We're saved by grace through faith. But there we are with compassion in our heart trying to warn them. All of a sudden, God gave me a little bit of something to say, and I said, Billions will die soon. Billions will die soon. When I was saying that, it was weird. I can't explain it. I'm no stinking charismatic, and don't even suspect me to be one. Amen? But I'm here to tell you, it was weird. It was weird. What I mean by that is that it sure seemed like the Lord bore witness to that. All this stuff with Russia and China and ISIS. You think it's just going to keep on keeping on like this forever? You think America is going to become the epicenter, the mecca, so to say, of homosexuality? And God's not going to reel back and crack Uncle Sam upside his head? He's going to. Anybody ought to know it. It ought to be you. Amen. And now in churches, homosexuality. Hey, you know, well, I was born this way. Well, yeah, that's why you need to be born again. Amen. That's why you need to be born again. That's right. You're born wicked, just like all of us. Get saved. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. You know, God could drop a little bitty rock from outer space and just wake people up right quick. Yeah? It's just nothing to him. I remember back when Russia got hit with that asteroid. And I remember that there were some guys up in Washington discussing it. And this one black gentleman, he was sitting there, and they asked him a question about how they might be able to better, you know, survey the universe, and so that we would be able to see the asteroid coming. And this black gentleman, I believe he's a brother in Christ, he said he kind of looked at them, and he gave him kind of a little sarcastic tone to his voice. And they said, well, what do you think that we ought to do? And he said, well, sir, that asteroid came from the direction of the sun. And you can't see that asteroid coming from the sun. And they said, well, sir, what do you recommend that we do? And he said, well, sir, I recommend that we pray. Amen? What a novel thought, amen? What a novel thought. To actually submit to the God of the universe. To admit to his almighty power. My, how quickly we become vain in our own imaginations, amen? I'd just like to say this in closing, is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Amen. And if anybody ought to fear God, it ought to be us. Amen? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Would you please stand with us with heads bowed and eyes closed? I'd ask the piano player to please come forward. We're going to give what's called an invitation for those that might not be right with God. Amen? Maybe you're playing around and dabbling in sin, and maybe you're just not really ready for what's right around the corner. I hope and pray that you're not believing that it's because of me. I hope and pray you understand that what was said this morning was from the Word of God. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for the Word that gives us a understanding of prophetical things. You give us, as they'd say, a heads up, God, to be able to see, to look out, to dodge, to get out of the way. And I thank you for it. I thank you for this church, and I pray you bless the pastor and his family and those that are here that want to be able to serve you. I pray you'll be able to work together in unity and to be able, Lord God, not in an ecumenical way, but in a biblical way, to be able to stand together in accord until the trumpet sounds. God, we thank you for your mercy and your grace.
Amen. Right before we start playing the invitation, I'm going to read